Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, a familiar passage, a very powerful passage and story about a young wife and mom by the name of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the door by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened as the Lord she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him, only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift, the wonderful gift that mothers are to the world. And thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you pour your grace, peace, and light into the world through mothers who love you and serve you. Thank you, Lord, for the powerful and the wonderful story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And thank you for the many insights and truths that can be learned from that story. Lord, I pray that you'd put upon the heart of every listener, of those that are mothers and all other believers as well, to take time to really read and meditate on that chapter in view of the fact that there's so many insights, not just about motherhood and parenthood, but so many insights about life that you teach us both about living for you, following you, and living a life of prayer as well. Guide us, Father, so that with every passing day, we'll become better and better equipped prayer warriors who take prayer very seriously and recognize that there's so much you do in and through and in the midst of the life of any believer that is an intercessor who takes prayer seriously. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. We'd like to remind you to connect with us online. Again, you can go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. Please like our Facebook page. That's the Hour of Intercession. And also, you can follow us at Urban Family here on Twitter. You can join the Urban Family Talk email list also. You can look up on the website and find some of the latest poll questions shared. Also, look up news articles and inspirational articles, action alerts, and blogs from Urban Family. Once again, that website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. And want to mention, too, that some of the significant part of some of the materials we'll be sharing on today are available if you'd like to get some of them by way of email. My email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad and would look forward to sharing with you some of the insights and encouragements that we share in writing through the broadcast today and otherwise as well. Once again, that email is jparker@afa.net. And today we're looking at the title of our topic for today is A Mother's Heart, Inspiration and Encouragement for Christian Mothers. Again, A Mother's Heart, Inspiration and Encouragement for Christian Mothers. Now, of course, 1 Samuel chapter 1 is a unique and a very powerful chapter in all of God's Word. And as I said, it's a wonderful story for you to read and meditate on over and over again because it has insight for women who may find themselves in a similar situation like Hannah. She was a young wife who longed to be the mother. She longed to have a son specifically, but she was barren. But she took it upon herself to go before God in prayer, and God changed her whole world and gave her a son. But here in this chapter, I want to encourage you to, as I said, take time to go and read it. But note this, that as the chapter opens up, points out Elkanah was her husband, and she did have some competition in the home. Well, at least that's what the way it appears. There were two wives. Now, keep this in mind. When Scripture shares some things, it's not teaching it. It's just telling what took place. Well, Elkanah had two wives. But remember this, God's plan from the beginning was that there'd be one man and one wife in a marriage. And whenever there was a situation where there was more than one spouse, there were problems and difficulties and troubles that God really would rather they not have to deal with, but they did have to deal with because of that situation, multiple spouses in the home. Well, such was the case of Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had several children. Hannah had none. And so Peninnah would make fun of Hannah for not being able to have a child. And of course, in that day and time and in that culture, it was a shame and it considered a shame and a disgrace for a woman to not be able to have children. And so Hannah longed to be a mother and longed to have a son. And so she would be aggravated, sometimes deliberately aggravated, by Peninnah, the other wife. But on one occasion, she decided she was going to do something about it. And how important that conclusion is for us as believers to come to. You know, when we have problems or challenges or difficulties in life, we can cry about them. We can complain about them. We can throw fits and tantrums over them. There are all sorts of ways we can react, wrong and right, you know, that are out there. But what we should do is learn to go to God in prayer. Bring the desires of your heart, the concerns, the needs that you're facing. Come to God in prayer and bring them before him and ask God for his help, for his provision, for him to open the door. Because remember, when human beings, when doctors, when lawyers, when people who normally think of themselves as being in a position to help us in a given area of need in our lives, sometimes those persons have to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing more I can do. But the fact is we serve a God, a heavenly Father, who when people basically say there's nothing more they can do, God can pick up right there. Remember, God can do any and all the things that we as human beings do so, so much better And so we're wise to go to God in prayer. Hannah was wise enough to go to God and say, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you. And keep this in mind, an important truth about prayer for us as parents to be mindful of, mothers and fathers, but all parents and all believers as well. Keep in mind, one of the truths behind prayer and one of the ways prayer works is time and time again, God will lay desires and dreams on our hearts. And they're desires that were planted there by God, things that God wants to take place. He wants them to come to pass, but they will never come to pass until you bring those matters to God in prayer. And when you pray and ask God for them, you'll see God's hand move and he provides and God blesses so that you receive that desire that was in your heart. But keep in mind, time and time again, one of the wonderful truths about prayer is that many times those desires were put there by God. And God is simply looking to you and waiting upon you to take time to come to him in prayer and ask him for the desire of your heart. And when he gives you that desire, not only is your desire fulfilled, but God's desire is fulfilled as well. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that that's the way prayer works. So many of the desires in our hearts, the longings in our hearts, are things that come from God, yet they're things that we'll never receive until we ask. And you may ask, well, why is that so? Why do we have to ask? Well, that's one of those questions you need to ask the Lord when you get to heaven. Just be sure that you get there. But God can, the fact is God can give a better answer to that than anyone else could. But in the meantime, the key is, be aware you need to ask. The Bible says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. There are truths and insights, there are areas in our lives for all of us that there are things that we desire or long to have, that we want to have them, but for some reason they have not come. Well, in many believers' lives, the problem is not that God doesn't want to give it. Sometimes people say, well, they're waiting on God. Well, many times God is waiting on us. Well, what is he waiting on us for? He's waiting for us to ask. There are many blessings in your life that will never, ever come to you until you take it upon yourself to ask. The Bible says, in the book of James, it says, you have not because you ask not. Many things right now, the big reason as to why you haven't gotten it is you have not gone to God and you have not asked. So ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Lord, again, thank you for the wonderful, wonderful story of Hannah, the true story, the powerful story. And thank you for the many insights about prayer, about walking with you, about life that are found in that story. Help us to take time to really read and meditate on it, to read it through once and to read it again and to read it again and to read it again. And Lord, help us to dig out the treasure, the wisdom, the insight that's found in this powerful story about a young wife who longed to be a mother by the name of Hannah. And Father, more and more, help us to know, Lord, that many of the desires and the dreams that are on our hearts right now, the longings on our hearts, so many of them are from you. And if we would but take the time to pray and seek your face, your guidance, and your direction, in so many instances, you're ready to give them to us right away because you wanted us to have it more than we wanted to have it. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to live a life fully giving ourselves to you in prayer. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be a praying people, a people who learn how to live and breathe prayer as we go, knowing that prayer is such a critical tool and weapon to use in the battles and on the battlefronts of life every day, in every concern, every issue, every matter. Guide us, teach us to pray, empower us to pray, strengthen us in prayer in our lives as men and women of God, as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers, as believers on the scene. Thank you for that opportunity. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our topic for today is a mother's heart, inspiration and encouragement for Christian mothers. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The education center at the wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the memorial wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Can you imagine how David felt as a young lad just waiting to become king? Samuel had anointed him years before the promise ever came to pass. In fact, in his wait, the anointing had already left Saul and had rested on David, giving him the authority to take his rightful place. David could have easily helped God out with timing when Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, not knowing that David and his men were hiding in the cave. But that would have been outside the will of God. God's got his own time to do what he wants to do in our lives. He sees the complete picture when we can only see what's happening in front of us at that moment. One good lesson to learn is that we can never rush the will of God for our lives. David waited patiently to become king because he knew that he could trust God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the next time you have an urge to help God, help you just wait. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. For he is like a tree that's planted by
that man.
Blessed is that man.
Blessed is that man.
You're listening to music from Cam, the song Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Not Cam Newton, another Cam. Praise the Lord. We're looking in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Powerful story, the wonderful story, the inspirational story of a young wife by the name of Hannah that longed to be a mother. And of course, we know the story. She went to God in prayer. Specifically, she went to God in prayer and prayed a fervent prayer and made a vow to God, letting him know, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you. Now, a very important bit of insight for every parent listening is that we're very wise to commit our children into the hands of the Lord in prayer. And keep in mind, actually, it's a wise thing to do over and over again. But it's wise for us to do that basically to let God know that you've placed a claim on your child for him. You've committed him. You've loaned him to God. And the fact is, it's a blessing to have your child loaned to God because that means they become God's property. And so she was wise enough to do that. And after she made that vow and committed to God that if he would bless her with a son, that she would dedicate him to the Lord. Well, keep in mind, remember that desire actually was planted in her heart by God. And keep in mind, that's true for in many instances in our lives, many of the desires in our heart, again, as I said, I was speaking of earlier, God has placed them there, and he's simply waiting on us to pray and ask them. Now, keep in mind, so Hannah, after she prayed and asked God for a son, God heard her prayer. And notice what it says in verse 18. It says, after she's spoken to Eli, the priest, after having finished praying, that she it specifically says in verse 18, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, when she went to God in prayer, apparently she was under a lot of pressure and anxiety and just was really, really feeling the pressure of the longing in her heart not being fulfilled. But it appears that at this point, she's gotten peace. Notice again, it says, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Apparently, she's now had an appetite, and her face no longer spoke of sadness. Now, keep in mind, we communicate a whole lot of things through our face. Well, in her case, her face was communicating the peace of God, which she now had because she had taken time to pray about the desire on her heart. A very important point. You and I need to learn to do the same kind of thing. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege, the wonderful gift of prayer. The chance you give us, the opportunity you give us every day to come to you in prayer day or night. Lord, Father, flood the lives of every listener today with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many things that you stand ready to do for us in our lives. If we would just come to you and bring those desires in our heart to you and ask you for them in our times and seasons of prayer. Lord, help us to know, Lord, and be mindful that so many times when we think we're waiting on you, you're actually waiting on us to ask. You've told us time and time again, ask and you'll receive. Help us to be hearers and doers of your word. Empower us to be a people that continually live a lifestyle of seeking you, praising and worshiping you, and asking you for your help, for your provision, for your opening of doors, and whatever else the need might be. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, the story goes on to let us know in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah went to God in prayer, prayed that prayer, and apparently received the peace of God. Now, again, the scripture at that point doesn't in any way indicate that God is going to answer her prayer, but apparently she has the peace of God. And remember this, the Bible does tell us in the scripture that we quote at the beginning of the broadcast on a regular basis, it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you learn to pray about the challenges in life, the desires of your heart, the things that you're facing, whatever it might be, learn to pray about those matters. And even before you get the answer, you can walk in the peace of God. You can receive the peace of God. But an important step is, place that matter in God's hands, and you can walk out of your prayer time, walk away with peace. And that's an important blessing, because the fact is we live in a world full of turmoil, where people are worrying about so many things, worrying about the economy, worrying about ISIS, worrying about troubles in your local community, worrying about crime, worrying about children all sorts of things people can worry about if they choose to or allow themselves to. But God wants us to learn to walk in his peace. So as we learn to pray and give matters to God, we can receive his peace. Well, of course, Hannah went back home, she along with the family, and very soon after that, she did in fact conceive. God blessed her with the desire of her heart. And he specifically, she did ask, it was her desire that God would give her a son, and God heard her and answered her prayer. He gave her a son. And so, sure enough to her word, when Samuel was growing up a little bit and was of age to be weaned, she weaned him, then she brought him to the temple to be raised in the temple. She's going to raise her child in the temple. Now, keep in mind, there are many, many messages there. She's going to raise her child in the temple. One of the ways whereby we commit and follow through with our commitment to committing our children to God is we raise them in an atmosphere and a life of worship. We raise them in the church. We raise them in the things of God, in the concerns of God. Raise them in a world where God is at the forefront of everything that we do. That's a wonderful way to raise a child. Well, she brought him to Eli the priest, and literally he was going to grow up in the temple, in the place of worship. He was going to grow up in a world of worship. And so parents, we're wise to do the same thing, to help our children, first giving them to God, committing them to God in prayer. But remember, parents, you and I have a part to play. It's one thing to dedicate them to God. It's another thing for us to follow through and do our part as parents, to do all we can to help our children come to know the Lord, then to do all we can to help them to grow up in their faith, teaching them and training them to read God's word out loud to us when they're young, and teaching and training them how to pray, to learn to talk to God for themselves, teaching them how to walk with God, teaching them how to give, teaching them to give tithes and offerings from whatever income they may receive, teaching them to become mission-minded, getting involved with ministry, teaching and training them in all these regards, raising our children in an atmosphere full of the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kingdom of God, and the Spirit of God. Well, Eli was dedicated to God and left to be raised in the temple. And notice the latter part of the chapter that has some very profound words. 1 Samuel, starting in verse 26, and it says, and this is right at the time in which he's about to leave Samuel to be raised in the temple with Eli the priest. Verse 26, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Now, parents, I want to share something, a very powerful bit of insight that I really want to encourage you to take to heart. You know, just like Hannah basically let God know, "Lord, my son, I'm lending my son to you. I'm placing him in your hands. I'm dedicating my child to you." Parents, every one of us can do the same thing with our children. Now, of course, your children might be maybe babies. Maybe they might be moms. They might be in the womb now. They might be a baby. Might be in elementary school. Maybe in middle school, high school. Keep in mind, you can dedicate your child to God at any age. They might be 5 years old, they might be 50 years old, but parents, you can dedicate your child and lend them to God. Now, you might think, well, when they're grown, they can. I don't have that influence over them. Well, actually, you will always have power in the lives of your children. Every parent does, because that's just a part of God's plan. You'll always have influence and power in the lives of your children. Well, in prayer, lend them to God and let God know, "God, I'm lending my child into your hands, and as long as my child is alive, he or she is lent to you." Now, if that doesn't line up with the way your child is living, don't worry about it. Lend them to God anyhow. Allow the Spirit of God to start working on them, because they are now God's property. Be wise enough to lend, to commit your child to God, whatever age he or she may do it, and do it again often. Pray for their spiritual growth in the Lord, but regularly let God know your child has been lent to him. You've committed that child and recommitted that child to God. That's a wise thing for us as parents to do. So again, that last verse says, "Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Now, I'm going to read verses 27 and 28 one more time before we conclude this specific portion of what we're sharing about. Verses 27 and 28. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives here, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Verse 28, one more time. Now listen again, because I want you to get this, parents. Every parent listening, I hope you'll do this, to lend your child in prayer to God. It's a wise thing to do because, remember, you always have power and influence in your child's life. And even if they're adults, again, you still have the privilege to do this, to basically give them afresh to the Lord. Verse 28 again, Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Again, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege of us being able to lend our children into your hands. Thank you for all of our children and the members of our families. And thank you for the privilege of being able to go through this spiritual exercise. Lord, right now, as I lead every listener in this prayer, thank you for the opportunity to do this. Father, we lend our children, our families afresh into your hands. Lord, they're your property. We commit them to you, Lord. Use them for your glory all the days of their lives. Help them to grow in their love for you, their love for the things of God, and do a mighty work in their hearts to move them towards living all their lives for you. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. A powerful and a short little poem that states something that's very touching, I think, that may especially be encouraging to mothers. Simply called A Mother's Blanket of Prayer. When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. And then another one entitled A Faithful Christian Mother. It simply said, a faithful Christian mother will truly carry her children in at least places three. In her womb, in her heart, and in her prayers faithfully. And another very important truth related to the story of Hannah and her son Samuel, who did grow up to become a great man of God, a prophet of God. And Samuel, too, like his mom, became a great person of prayer. Samuel was a great prayer warrior, and God used him mightily in his prayer life. How sad it is for any child that has neither mother nor father lifting them up in prayer. May every believer in the world become an adoptive prayer parent. So a word of encouragement from that bit of insight, parents. Pray every day for your children, whatever age they might be. And remember, parents, it's our job to pray for our children all their life long. We're to pray for them before they get here. We're to pray for them when they're in the womb. We're to pray for them when they're born. We're to pray for them when they just start to learn to walk and talk and do those sorts of things. We're to pray for them as they prepare to go to kindergarten and to elementary school. We're to pray for them throughout middle school. We're to pray for them, sure enough, in high school. And we're to pray for them when they're in college. And don't make the mistake of thinking, well, now that they've graduated from college, my job is over. No, it's not. You're just getting started. You're to pray for your children on into adulthood. And remember this, as they become adults, ideally what will happen is that you will pray much for them, and they will learn in turn also to pray for you. You become more like prayer partners in adulthood. And so children and parents were to pray for and with each other on a regular basis. But all our life, it's our responsibility to pray for our children. Now, if you ask, well, which age is the most critical age to pray for your children? All of them. Every age is critical. Our children will always need our prayers. Father, thank you, Lord, for every parent, every grandparent listening. Anoint us with a fresh anointing to be committed and faithful to pray much for our children and for our grandchildren. Help us to know, Lord, that on any given day you're ready to do more through us and in us for our children if we would but come to you in prayer on their behalf. Help us to be faithfully praying daily for our children. Lord, help us to adopt other children who may not have anyone, a parent, or anyone else praying for them as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
The church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Hello, I'm James. I couldn't stop the drug use. I had made it up in my mind that I wouldn't see 21. Teen Challenge has given me a hope. This is a place of restoration and a place of true freedom.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Satan is a powerful enemy, one we don't have the power to beat on our own. That's why Dr. Tony Evans says it sure is great that God doesn't leave us on our own. He explains how the Lord more than levels the playing field as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Angels are in heavenly places. Rulers and authorities refer to angels. If you got an angelic problem, you need an angelic solution. Now, most of us have very little consciousness of angels, but what you need to understand is that there is a battle going on, and God has a whole group of angels. When the Bible says the Lord of hosts, that means the Lord who is in military charge of an angelic corps whose job it is to meet demonic action that is attacking you. When you say the devil is attacking me, it's probably not the devil, because he can't be but one place at a time. He's not God, but he has a whole host of angels, which meant that he's got an angel called the demon with your name on it that he seeks after you to bring destruction in your life. Now, if you've got a demon after you, you're no power for a demon. You need God to tell one of his angels to come meet one of your demons in order to neutralize him. So if you need angelic help, but you don't have a heavenly mindset, then you don't know how to get to the help you need at the time you need it.
Learn more about the battle going on behind the scenes of your life. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll not only teach you what the Bible has to say about our fight against the devil and his influence, you'll find the real-life help you've been looking for. Visit us at TonyEvans.org for details. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Praise is my weapon.
He promised victory.
music of Marvin Sapp with a powerful message, Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of a mother's heart, inspiration and encouragement for Christian mothers. And we've been looking largely at the story of, found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah, a young wife that desired and longed to be a mother. And she was wise enough to go to God in prayer and ask God for a son. And God heard and answered her prayer. Allow me to read a scripture that's a powerful bit of insight about the fruit that came from her being faithful enough to go to God in prayer with a desire of her heart. Of course, Samuel was her son, and she did dedicate him to God. And Samuel grew up to become a great prayer warrior himself. So his mother, Hannah, was a tremendous woman of prayer. And by the grace of God, her son, Samuel the prophet, he too became a great warrior in prayer. Here's the scripture now from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, with some very important insight about prayer, specifically Samuel's prayer life and the ministry of prayer that he came to carry out for the nation of Israel. Listen to these words. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Again, 1 Samuel 12, verses 22 and 23. I'm going to read them again. Listen closely to what they say about Samuel and his responsibility of praying for the people of God. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. And just in the way of encouragement, may we as Christian parents strive never to sin by neglecting to pray for our children and other children in need as well. Let's be faithful to pray every day for our children. And obviously, grandparents, pray every day for your grandchildren. But also pray for other children that may be a part of the church family you're a part of. Pray for children in your community, in your neighborhood. Because again, sometimes when you pray for children in your community, you might be the main person next to the Lord Jesus Christ himself that's praying for that particular little boy or little girl. Make prayer a priority. There's so much good that God does through his people when we take prayer very, very seriously. So again, keep in mind, every month, every mother listening, and actually we won't just limit it to mothers, to every mother and father listening as well, keep this very important point in mind. One of the wisest and most fruitful ways we can live in life is to live a life full of prayer, where we regularly and consistently come to God for his guidance, for his help in the details of our lives. And also to pray much, praying much for our children. We're to pray much in our own lives, and we're to pray for our children, and we're to teach them to pray as well. So parents, mothers, and fathers, our job is to pray before our children, to pray for our children, and to teach each of our children how to pray as well. Parents, in all of life, one of the most important skills, spiritual skills you can teach and train and encourage your children to walk in is the spiritual skill of prayer. Parents, teach your sons and your daughters to pray. Teach them to pray. Teach them how to pray. Very few other skills in life will be as valuable to them as that wonderful God-entrusted skill, the skill and the gift of prayer. Let's teach our children to pray. Let's model a lifestyle of prayer before them. And remember, when our children learn how to pray, you've passed on to them one of the greatest gifts you can possibly give them, the skill of knowing how to talk to the creator of the universe, their heavenly father. Be sure and do that. Now, keep in mind, as we can draw our time to a conclusion, I want to share with you some insights about Christian mothers. And these draw from the wisdom of God's word, but insights about being a faithful Christian mother. The Word of God has a lot of insight and wisdom for mothers, and this insight encourages them to be godly mothers and women. And some of the characteristics found in the Word of God are important for us as believers as a whole, but especially for moms. So let me share a few of those very important characteristics of a godly mother. Number one, she's a woman who has given her heart to Jesus Christ. She knows and loves God. And, of course, John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. First and foremost, she's saved, she knows the Lord, and she loves God with all her heart. Number two, a godly mom seeks to be a student of the Word of God and to read God's Word every single day. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And of course, it's referring to men and women of God. We're to be faithful students of his Word. I like to encourage a goal of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every single day. It's a very wise habit that will bless you tremendously if you really take it to heart. If you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit, and I guarantee you it'll bless you tremendously if you take it seriously. You can read your average three chapters in about maybe 15 minutes or so, but the habit will bless you greatly. Be sure and to do that. And remember, parents, mothers, and fathers, let's teach and train our children to do the same thing. That habit will greatly, greatly, greatly bless our children if they too are learning to pour the Word of God into their minds and their hearts every single day through reading His Word each day as well. Again, three chapters is a good goal for adults and children, and it really doesn't take that long at all. Again, a third characteristic of a godly mother is she's a person of prayer. Prayer is a foundational part of her life, and she spends time in prayer every single day. And of course, you look to the passage we read earlier about from 1 Samuel chapter 1, the powerful and wonderful story of Hannah. Hannah serves as a role model for mothers and fathers and people as a whole, that if we learn to take God seriously, to hear him when he says, "Ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open," the Lord will definitely bless. A fourth characteristic of a godly mother is she seeks to teach, guide, nurture, and mold her children in the wisdom of the Word of God. She also seeks to share that wisdom with others as well. So she's reading the Word of God, meditating on it, and teaching and training her children to read and follow the Word of God as well. A fifth characteristic of a godly mother is she's growing in her understanding of the call of God upon her life. She has a sense of mission on her life, and she has a passion from God to carry that call out. And of course, a part of that call is, of course, to help her children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, for them to come to be saved. And then a part of that call is to help them to grow up in their faith, to teach and train them to walk with God, to live for God, to follow God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to become faithful students of his Word, who read and meditate on his Word every single day. Mothers and dads, when we do this, we're being wise moms and dads. A sixth godly characteristic of a godly mother is she seeks to carry out the ministry God has called her to in her home, to make it a place of love, grace, blessing, and warmth for her family. She seeks also to make it a place where the Holy Spirit dwells continually, drawn from wisdom found in Proverbs 31. And the last passage we want to look at is found in Proverbs chapter 31. Let's look at that briefly as we end our time. And Proverbs 31 is a powerful passage. And I want you to notice this too. Something that sometimes we may miss in reading Proverbs 31 is that basically the whole chapter is a young man who remembered what his mother taught him. Again, King Lemuel remembers the words that his mother taught him when he was younger. Listen to this chapter, Proverbs 31. "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, 'What, my son? And what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verses 1 through 31, all of Proverbs chapter 31. So keep in mind, again, a powerful passage that should, I believe, provide much grace and encouragement to every mom in the whole wide world. Remember, parents, we need to teach and train our children as a lifestyle. Often parents say, well, my mom's not, or my children don't listen to me. They never listen to me. Parents, don't ever say that. Number one, they are listening. They really are listening. Now, often, they'll want you to think they're not listening, and kids are good at making you think that, but often, you'll find that kids are listening. Some, in fact, they're listening sometimes when you want them to listen, and they're listening sometimes when you don't want them to listen. In fact, many times children hear things and overhear things they're not supposed to hear because children are really listening all the time, and they're learning all the time. So parents, don't make the mistake of thinking they're not listening. How many times have you heard adults say, Mama used to say, Daddy used to say? Yes, parents, our children, to a great extent, really are listening. Be sure and make the most of your time to teach and train them in the things of God. Notice basically this whole chapter is what, again, the son, King Lemuel, remembered that his mother taught him. She taught him, son, don't get drunk. She also taught him, son, look out for loose women. She also taught him, son, look out for the poor and the disenfranchised, the weak, those who can't defend themselves. Look out for those who are weak in society. And finally, she says, son, let me tell you the kind of wife that you need. And she describes an ideal wife. Now, of course, again, it's an ideal, and it's good for us all to strive for wise and positive ideals. This mother was wise enough to teach her son to strive for a great ideal. So, again, parents, let's be sure and teach and train our children. Every day, again, they're listening. Let's make the most of that opportunity to teach them. Lord, thank you for the wonderful opportunity that you give us, that you give to mothers and fathers, to parents, dads and moms, grandmothers and grandmothers, to teach and train our children and grandchildren to live for you and to follow you. Help us, Lord, more and more to be faithful every day, to live out a life of walking in close fellowship with you, and help us to teach and train our children to do the same. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk as we've talked today about a mother's heart, inspiration, and encouragement for Christian mothers. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of some of what we shared today, that email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.